Well, we're back, and it's always a pleasure to welcome TV broadcaster and producer Ann Martin to the show. Nice to have you back, Ann.
Hi, Roy. Nice to be back.
Listen, since the last time we spoke, a lot has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you have completed your three-part series, Journeys Through the British Isles, which is airing where at the moment?
Well, it's airing on PBS at the moment, on WNED out of Buffalo. And soon I hope to be able to say where the other stations will be and what times. But it went a week ago, Sunday, I guess it was, for the premiere. And I was so thrilled, Roy. You know what it's like when you spend so much time on putting a production together and it goes well?
Absolutely.
But what you probably also know is that by the time you finish a production, you absolutely hate it. You think there's everything wrong with it. You wonder why you ever started it.
You hate yourself. You hate the way you look. You hate the way you sound.
You think I should take that shot out, and I wish I'd got that other shot, and I should have put that in.
Absolutely.
So you're always down on your work, but it really was very successful.
But
I'm very happy.
That's the marvelous part about editing.
Yeah, well, that's the rewarding part.
Exactly.
You know? So it was really quite exciting. And the other lovely thing was I had so many phone calls from people after the fact telling me how much they had enjoyed it. And I think it was grand because not everybody is that watches a program like this necessarily has come from the country, but a lot of them have friends or relatives, or they're descended from people who came from different parts of Europe. And so there's always that kind of interest to see what the highlands and the islands look like, you know, in Scotland, for example, or parts of Wales. And the thing that astounded me was that the number of people that did not even know that the Isle of Man existed.
It's amazing, is it not?
It is, yeah. So in a way, I was kind of pleased that I was addressing some of these areas of lack of knowledge and maybe exciting people to go to that small island and learn all about their Manx heritage and the Vikings and the fact that they have their own language, their own currency, their own parliament. You know, it's kind of neat.
You have it broken down into three sections.
That's right.
England,
yes.
Wales, Scotland, and Island of Man, as you've just mentioned.
Right.
Then Ireland.
Ireland was the third episode, that's correct. And we actually called it the Emerald Isle because we wanted to be politically correct. And we didn't want to get into the fact that there are sort of two separate aspects to Ireland. So we wanted to do the whole country together. And I think it's worked well. And I think it's time. We want to bridge things, not sort of, you know, get into the divisiveness that sort of occurs in so many countries today. We'd like to sort of build the bridges and have people look harmoniously at travel as a way of learning about people and cultures and enjoying their experiences. So we actually traveled the whole of Ireland, and I had two of my great friends also that did some of the filming for me there, and they took they enjoyed themselves, actually. It was quite frustrating. I think I was filming in England, and they were off cruising the Fermanagh Lakelands, which I thought was a bit unfair.
Now, in your opinion, what did you do differently in presenting this?
Well, I think what it was pulling the idea of the journeys together, because one of the frustrations when I first started tackling it, you can stand on a corner in any part of the British Isles, but let's just take a small corner in London, for example. You can stand there, and if you move one pace to the front of you, you've got a completely different story than if you move to the left, the right, or behind. There is so much history. There is so much information, and everything from the cultural aspects, whether it's food or language or whatever, and it becomes very, very complicated. And I started to think, well, can I go around the country and do it this way? And I realized I couldn't because of all the different time frames and things. So that's why we came up with the concept of journeys, and the journeys actually flow very nicely into each other. And I think that was the good thing, because I talked about, for example, we go into Jane Austen, following in the footsteps of Jane Austen. So that took us into Bath and Shaftesbury and Stourhead and Chawton and Winchester Cathedral, where she ended her life and where she was buried. And then there was a nice little sort of a segue from that to other authors, And we then went to Charles Dickens, and we followed in the footsteps of Charles Dickens, which was a completely different kind of experience, going into Broadstairs and Rochester, where he wrote many of his books.
And you even did Harry Potter.
And we even did Harry Potter. And actually, I had a marvelous experience, because just before the series went to air, I spent a few weeks back in the British Isles, traveling around, doing a few things, combination of updating some information that I wanted, and also to see family and friends. And we took the train journey. We were going to go up to the Kyle of Lacalch, which is up at up in the north part of Scotland, out from Inverness. And we decided that no, we would do the one that takes us out to Maleg, near the Isle of Skye. And we went over Glenfinnan Viaduct on the train going out there. And the viaduct was actually part and parcel of one of the Harry Potter films. So I think it was the one with the Philosopher's Stone, where he flies a car through the viaduct. And you can also see one of the steam trains that goes over the viaduct in one of the movies. So it was kind of interesting to even see that aspect of it, because when we did the story with Harry Potter, we were concentrating more on Glastonbury and Tintagel, and the stories of Arthur and Merlin, and how they kind of tied in with the Harry Potter concept.
And it sounds like good fun as well.
It was. The only thing that wasn't fun, well, it was, I suppose, in a way. The stories are great after the fact, but when we were hiking through the Highlands and Islands, we went over to the island of Mull, and we were walking through an area, and we had really set ourselves quite a long trek, and we were determined to do it. But what I didn't realize was that the size of the boulders sometimes can be extremely difficult to manage to get around and over. And then we'd suddenly find ourselves in a bog. And it's almost like standing on that sphagnum moss, and you feel yourself sinking, and you're not really sure whether you're ever going to stop. You know, it's a bit like quicksand.
Yeah.
So that was fun and games, but we thoroughly enjoyed it in the end, because we were walking all the way around these absolutely gorgeous lochs, and seeing some of the most magnificent scenery, and the heather was out, so you had this kind of glorious purple auburn colors on the hills and the highlands, and then these beautiful lochs with the water. So it was really superb scenery, and just another excuse to go back and do some more filming.
Exactly. Now, do you feel you captured it?
I think so. I think that you can only capture so much when you're filming, and the other thing is that sadly you can never dictate. I say sadly, sometimes it's good. You can't dictate the weather.
Right.
And
especially there.
Unlike some film producers who have the luxury of being able to go and sit and wait for the perfect weather condition to get the perfect shot. I don't have that luxury.
Right.
I'm there, and I've got my filming to do today in this location, and I'm somewhere else the next day. So I just have to go for it.
You've got your crew.
You've
got your crew and everybody there. You need to do it.
But when you do that, you know something? Sometimes you actually end up getting more interesting shots.
Yep.
Because if it's raining, you go for it. And
yep.
I always say that when people are traveling, they are in exactly the same position. If they happen to be in Devon, they may be standing on an absolutely magnificent beach with the waves pounding through and the boys out on their surfboards, etc., and the kite surfing that they're doing these days. But it might be pouring with rain.
And that's exactly
right.
You've
got to be able to find some pleasure in that somehow.
Right.
You can't just sort of say, oh, gosh, it's raining. Let's go back to our bed and breakfast and, you know, bury our heads and that be it.
Not every day is an ideal situation.
No,
so you might as well, you know, that's the realism of it all.
Absolutely. And we've talked often about tips in the past, and I want to give you two really good ones. I know we've talked about this one before, but I must tell you, on this occasion, I took one of those four-day flexi pass, Brit Rail passes, and you can use it in 2 months or whatever. But the thing is that you're not just using one train service. It actually comprises of different train organizations. And I think I saved probably 70%. I think it actually ended up that I was only paying about 30% of what I would have cost, it would have cost me if I'd bought every single rail fare individually when I was there by going the long treks. You know, if you're going from Devon to Scotland or to Crewe or somewhere like that, I worked it out that it saved me something like 70%. So I really do urge people to take advantage of things like Brit Rail passes and heritage passes and things like that. It's a huge saving.
Absolutely. We always recommend EuroPass for people that are traveling.
That's right. Yeah. And the other one that I want to suggest, too, is to people, I don't know whether you're familiar with Zoom Airlines. It's probably one of a group of different airlines now that have sprung up and came out of a sort of a semi-charter kind of concept.
Right.
With small organizations. But we went with Zoom, and I think Air Transat is very similar. And I think you've got, is it JetBlue in
yes.
the States?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a number of them now, and I heartily recommend, particularly in these days, traveling with them, because you can fly into some of the smaller airports. So instead of having to go into Heathrow or Gatwick, you can go to Cardiff or
right.
Manchester
right.
or Birmingham, Glasgow, and I think that it makes life a lot easier given the lineups and the security and the checks and everything else that you have to go through. So those are two tips, along with staying, of course, at bed and breakfast, which I must say, I think the prices are going up a little bit on those, but and you have to watch it, because when you're buying a bed and breakfast now, it's per person, not per room. So
yeah,
it can be a bit of a shock.
I found the UK, especially London, very expensive last time I was over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I made the mistake. I kept looking at the prices and seeing 10 and thinking, oh, $10. And of course, it was 10
euro,
pounds, and it wasn't $20.
Right, or pounds, right, exactly.
So that was a bit of a shock. And the other thing is, if you can try and book your B&Bs ahead of time, I had read a guidebook which gave me the information that Oban, which is just off the island of Mull on the mainland, was not considered to be a particularly interesting town.
Right.
And I thought, oh, well, that's grand. We won't have any trouble finding a B&B. Well, it's the ferry, the main ferry stop, and we were running around town having visions of ourselves sitting in a car park overnight, you know, with a raincoat over our heads or something. But we ended up getting a place, but it was something like £60 for a teensy little room, and I thought, my heavens, I really should have listened to myself. You know, here I am giving advice, and I don't follow
it. Don't take your own. I tend to do
right.
that myself.
So book ahead. And actually, I have, in fairness to Oban, I have to say it turned out to be an extremely interesting and very nice town, so we enjoyed it.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Isle of Man, and, you know, the Jersey Islands as well. At one point,
mm-hmm.
Some of the Jersey Islands were a part of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And I always found that that was interesting. But
and the Orkneys and the Hebrides. You know, I'd never been up to that part of the country, and I really would like to get up there. I think the scenery is fascinating. And also all those islands off the Highland area of Scotland, some beautiful-looking islands, but just not the time to get out there, although there's a wonderful ferry system, and again, you can get passes for the ferries as well, so
now,
you can actually travel quite extensively. But I didn't do that. I'd like to do that. And sea kayaking, we did a little bit of that this time. That was really interesting.
Yeah, you mentioned that, hiking, the kayaking, and,
mm-hmm.
You know. The question that I have, we're about out of time, but
mm-hmm.
The question I have, I went to your website.
Just had the process changed, actually, and it's just coming back into being again. If you go to ontopoftheworld.ca,
right.
Which is what I've referred everything to, I literally just put up information on journeys through the British Isles just the last couple of days, and in fact he's making some changes still to it.
Okay,
but there
because
is some information up on it now, and people can refer through to me if they want more information or if they're interested. I think I mentioned to you last time that Reader's Digest has packaged the tapes, the DVDs and VHS, and made them available through their subscription.
Right.
And I've also, I'm in a position to offer those if people want copies, so that they can have something in which to start developing their own ideas of travel, because there's so many interesting journeys that we cover, everything from castles and gardens to cruising and golfing to following in the footsteps of horses, etc. So I think that there's a lot there for people, and certainly if we run out of time this time, maybe we'll have a chance to do this again and we'll catch up and talk some more about Britain.
I certainly hope so. It's a great series, and we highly recommend it to our audience. And once again, the website is ontopoftheworld.ca, just
that
the way
right.
you say it.
That's right. And make sure it's the on top of the world. I get sometimes people put top of the world or on top of
right,
the world.
Right, but it's definitely O-N.
O-N.
Thanks again. Always a pleasure.
It's lovely to talk with you, and I hope your audience has a wonderful time on their travels and keeps that spirit of discovery going. That's the key.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.